Welcome to episode 2 of the Customer Experience Podcast. The importance of being a data-driven organization goes well beyond the world of customer. Making informed and speedy decisions and utilizing customer feedback is imperative in today's age, where markets and economies can change in the blink of an eye. We're lucky enough to hear from the Global Data Officer at Specsavers, Helen Mannion, who spoke with Emma about leading the charge of building an internal culture at Specsavers that has data at the heart of everything they do. Helen shares stories on using data to drive a strong customer experience, the challenge of building that culture internally, and even shed some light on where the future of data and analytics is heading. This one is not to be missed, so please enjoy the show. And also don't forget to hit the subscribe button to make sure you don't miss another episode.
Helen, welcome to the Customer Experience Podcast. I'm so excited to have you as my guest today. How are you doing?
Yeah, really well, thank you. It's really good to do this and be here. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for coming along. So the topic today is around big data. I guess the question I want to unpack is it a big hype or actually is it a big opportunity? And some reflections I had ahead of our chat today, I was looking at a Harvard Business Review and it was interviewing the Fortune 1000 senior execs. And it referenced studies that said to compete today, companies need to be data driven, which we hear a lot. And it went on to say that 90% of those firms that were surveyed reported that culture was the biggest barrier for them. And it cited things around alignment within the organization, you know, the business processes, the skill sets of the team, and just a general resistance or lack of understanding to kind of enable that data-driven transformation. What are your thoughts around this?
I mean, I absolutely agree that culture is a really big part of a data transformation. And in particular, sort of a mindset shift, especially if you're in an organization that isn't very data driven and that maybe has a quite an old fashioned experience or use of data. And there's definitely a big cultural shift that they need to go through. And I think really understanding the value that data can bring is really important within that.
Yeah. And so I guess, you know, in your view, how do you create a culture where data becomes more accessible, you know, more meaningful? As you say, you know, people really seeing the value across the whole organization, I guess, effectively enabling data literacy within an organization.
There are sort of three things that we're doing within Specsavers to really I suppose try and embed that data culture and you know really push forward with our transformation journey. The first is creating data assets, and what we mean by that is, you know, a really good data platform, a series of tools that make it accessible, your data in the right, you know, easily accessible form, you know, single customer view, those sorts of elements. The second part is around showcasing value. I think this is really important around the impact that data can make. And actually, we do projects that we try and, you know, to demonstrate the value that data can bring. But we also ask an awful lot of colleagues around the business to share their stories about where they're generating value from data. And the combination of that really is just to inspire, you know, a wider use of data and excitement about what it can do. And the third element is something that I think is hugely important, which is a culture of sharing. You know, and I think that starts ultimately within, you know, your core central data team and your leadership. But I think if you've got, I mean, the team perspective is hugely knowledgeable. They've got a huge amount of expertise, and them going out and sharing their knowledge and experience. Sharing, you know, the code, their dashboards, their and for others to do the same who are doing projects, I think is really, really important and powerful. And that aspect of community, because I mean, I think everybody has something different to add. There are people in the business with really huge amounts of experience in terms of what the data means. And so it's tapping into all of the different pockets of knowledge around the organization and bring it together is hugely valuable. And really then it sort of, I see it as more of a ripple effect. Everybody's teaching everybody. And by teaching somebody, you're also learning more. You're gaining the sort of that in-depth knowledge yourself and securing your own learning. And for me, it's a ripple effect, but definitely the entire process, I think, requires a lot of patience.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, to create that culture, so, you know, for that ripple effect to happen, was it easy, difficult to do, to kind of, you know, be intentional about, you know, that journey that you went on within Specsavers?
I mean, I think I think, like I said before, it sort of starts with your with the core team initially. And I think that, I mean, really for me, you know, when I'm recruiting, that idea of willingness to share and give back, and that attitude really, and behavior around training others and helping others is really important. So that's sort of probably the first thing that I would say, because it's something I always focus on. But I also think that, you know, a lot of that comes down to the team spirit, you know. And actually, in our recent survey, everybody, you know, the results were very, very positive. But the key thing that struck, you know, that stands out in the comments that are coming through are how helpful the team are, you know, how willing to support others, how we don't see our stakeholders as, you know, someone different. We're all in it together. And I think that that, you know, view, you know, is, it's sort of, it's contagious.
Yeah, it sounds it. And I guess data for some can be overwhelming. It can be a bit of a minefield. You know, you rely on the team to kind of decipher and take the complexity away. But I guess, you know, as I was listening to you there, it sounds accessible. It sounds fun. It sounds, you know, that you want to be part of it, actually. And it's creating that kind of fear of missing out if you're, you know, not sharing those stories. And often you hear culturally that happen from a customer perspective. But actually what you guys have done, I feel, is different, because, you know, it's doing that for data. Whereas normally, you know, people stay away from that unless they have to use it. So that has you know, there's a lot of kudos, I think, behind what you guys have done there, because I think it's a really good way of looking at it as well. So moving on from then, have you used data to kind of really drive a great customer experience? So, you know, have you got stories that you can share where the data is where the customer success story has come about?
So I think there are a number of different stories, but the one that's probably my favorite is really a story from the clinicians actually within Specsavers. And probably about 2 years ago, we gave them a report which contained referral data. So the percentage of customers that were being referred to ophthalmologists, so eye specialists. And what they noticed, completely independently of us, was that the percentage of referrals during the first lockdown had dropped by 66%. And they used that data. They sent it to NHS and they shared it with Glaucoma UK. And that formed part of the case to keep stores, all optometrists, open in the UK for routine eye appointments, so that actually glaucoma could be identified. And I think it's just incredible. A, because it's such a simple stat, but also because it was derived through the business users effectively, and it was them that drove that forward and used data to really create a massive difference. But B, the impact isn't even just Specsavers. it affected every single person in the UK, and had such a good cause. So I think it's really incredible that even such simple pieces of information, I think lots of people think that it has to be something that's, you know, some amazing complex AI that needs to be done to create a really massive benefit. And actually it can be the simplest of information that can cause, you know, huge benefits.
That's a powerful example. And that's incredible. And actually plays back to the culture piece, just in terms of just the way that people are thinking, really, and how they're just diving into the data to come up with, you know, great initiatives that, as you say, had such a wide impact. That's a really positive story. What about the challenges then? Data-driven transformation, you know, seems like you've got a great culture. So obviously, you know, led from yourself, you've got a team that are, you know, really up for it and upbeat about it and are accessible to their colleagues. So that's all positive. But where are the challenges? And, you know, can you share examples of challenges that you've had to overcome when really driving that data-driven transformation?
So I think, I mean, as we sort of discussed, there's a huge cultural journey in data transformation, and it is very much is, you know, a hearts and minds journey that we're on. But I think one of the tricky things, and I think this is tricky actually in lots of different things, not just data projects, but it is the regional differences and separation. And I think how you differentiate between sort of global strategy and local strategy, and making sure that you're, you know, always ultimately trying to get to the end objective, but also taking into account everybody's own sort of almost micro objectives at the same time. And you know, helping everybody move in the same direction. And I think what you said before is very true, in the sense that actually the way that we work, really lots of people want to come with us. You know, there's an awful lot of people that actually come to us. In fact, more people come to us probably than we go out to and sort of say, we want to be part of what you're doing. We want to have more access to data. You know, how can you help us? Which is really great. But it is also a challenge to make sure that we've got that continued alignment, that we're not going off in different directions, and I think that is always a challenge. I think the other thing that is a challenge when you're doing quite a big transformation, or you're going from quite an immature state to where you want to be, which is far more best practice position, you've kind of got to balance the building the foundations while also delivering the value. And getting the two of those balanced. I think the sort of, you know, where we're trying to get to strategically, but while also delivering what you need to tactically almost, I think, you know, they're always pulling slightly in different directions. And I don't think any of these things are necessarily easy decisions, but I think that, you know, it's finding your way within that, within your own company settings, really.
Yeah. And what about technology? I mean, you know, what part does that play to make it easier, or, you know, more kind of challenging? And are there any kind of brilliant basics that you've got to have in place in order to be able to use the data effectively?
I'm a big believer in culture is more important than tech, if I'm completely honest. But saying that, when we arrived, when I started at Specsavers, we had a platform in place, and at the time I wouldn't have made a decision to transition off it, but as it happened, we were worried about the platform not being around anymore, and we were sort of almost forced to make that call and re-platform. But I have to say that replatforming and moving to a more modern data platform we moved to Azure was actually a really great decision. And actually looking back, I almost wish that we'd made it sooner, because actually it has definitely helped us move faster. than working on a platform that was, it was just really hard to deliver on. So it does definitely play a part, but I always think that technology can sometimes on the outset seem like it's the solution to everything, and it's often a lot of hard work in the background before the tool actually works.
Absolutely. And I think that's where people kind of fall down at times, isn't it? They kind of invest in technology and think that that's going to be the silver bullet. But actually, if you don't know what data there, you know, you've got, and you don't know what questions that you're trying to answer using that data, then the technology is almost useless, really, isn't it? Moving on then to kind of AI initiatives. You mentioned earlier that where have you seen data and AI initiatives work really well together?
I think that so data and AI, you know, I think they can have a huge impact. I think they can have a huge impact in loads of different areas. I don't think it matters what industry you're in. In fact, I've worked it across financial services, telco, health, retail, insurance, and I don't think it matters what business you're in or industry sector. I think data can play a huge value. I think that there are obviously some really good examples. We see, you know, AI all the time, don't we? Great examples. I think, you know, one of the things that we worked on when I was at GIFGAF was predicting it was a credit vetting, you know, whether you could be accepted for a loan using sort of telecoms data, and we used that as just an approval, additional approvals in addition to the traditional credit vetting, and so it was only an upside really in using that for customers. But there are loads of great applications that can really help improve customer experience or really help save time through automation, you know, increase acquisition, reduce churn. There's just tons of applications. And I think that, you know, it almost for me splits out into sort of two core buckets, if you like. You've kind of got your really advanced artificial intelligence, which could be automated or semi-automated decision making, right the way through to getting data into everyone's hands and everybody using it within their roles. And in some ways, you know, we focus a lot on AI, and you know what, it's really fun and really exciting, isn't it? But actually, you know, some of the really smaller stuff can drive a huge amount of benefit, and it's almost unseen because individuals are doing it in the background, day to day in their jobs. And you don't necessarily hear about the stories and the impact that it's making, but actually it can make a massive impact, not only for customers' experiences, but also I think for colleagues. You know, like the things that they're automating, that they no longer have to do in such a manual way, the processes in their terms of their job satisfaction. You know, I think that there's huge benefits in actually people upskilling more in data, no matter what your role. You know, a knowledge of data analytics, Power BI, or, you know, reporting platforms, I think, you know, is I think it's the future.
I like that reference to the colleague, the employee as well, because, you know, how intentional, I wonder, are organizations around, you know, thinking about AI internally as well. Do you think that, you know, from your experience, because, you know, you'll speak to people, you know, that are using data day in, day out, just, you know, in terms of in the industry, but do you think there is a focus and an intentional focus with firms to look at the AI internally as well as the customer facing? Or do you think that's something that's a bit of a blind spot, actually, and something that happens by chance rather than intent?
Yeah, so that's, you know what, it's a really good question. I think it does happen, but I think it happens indirectly rather than with a real intent. You know, when you go through a transformation, generally people will upskill and they will go through that process and there will be a greater adoption. But whether they intentionally do it to improve colleague satisfaction, or, you know, to increase sort of from a developmental goals perspective, I think less so. And I think it can be hugely powerful, actually. And you know, it's inspiring, I think, to think how you can actually do your job in a different way. And I think that, you know, we're on a massive evolution, aren't we? We're going, you know, AI is going to change the world significantly. You know, robotics are going to change the world significantly. But I don't see that as a negative. I just see it as an evolution. We're just going to be doing different things, you know, and our job as humans is to, you know, is to take the skills that we really have as humans. And I think a lot of that is things that computers can't do very easily. You know, the emotion, the caring for people, I think is hugely important. And I think that I personally think we should embrace it.
Absolutely. I remember probably 3 or 4 years ago when I was, you know, leading an operational team and going to an event and someone saying, there's not going to be a need for customer teams any longer. The bots will take over, you know, and there's some great stats that I read recently from like the Berry Group where their primary channel now is the bot that's actually getting 4 out of 5 stars, phenomenal results. But I think you're right, Helen. I think, you know, there'll be a blend. And so you can train the bot to have empathy, and you can certainly, you know, allow it to deal with the transactions, but ultimately the human needs to be involved in training it. And there's always going to be a part in which, you know, a consumer will need to speak to a person and interact with a person, whatever the channel, really. I agree. So talk to me about data in terms of creating those human digitalized experiences then. Have you got examples of where you've seen that data informs a more human digitalized experience?
I think that this really comes down to personalization for me. And you know, the relevance of the way we interact with customers. And I think that, you know, the more you can use your marketing, the more you feed in accurate data about all the different things that your customers are doing and how they've interacted with you, the more you improve that communication, even if you're doing that, you know, through CRM activity or you're doing it within stores, you know, in terms of that, giving a profile to somebody who then goes, oh, I understand the process that this customer has gone through. It gives them that much greater context, which I think is really important. And then historically, of course, you know, we all sort of go through this personalization journey, almost trying to get back to that almost one-on-one feeling, don't we, of what the past used to be like. The reason that, you know, now we've got so many different customers, we can't possibly keep that in our brain, but actually with data, we don't need to. We just need it presented back to us before we have those interactions, you know, or conversations. And I think that's where it becomes really, really powerful.
Absolutely. And that's where data and technology that sits behind that is on your side as an organization, and therefore, you know, where you should embrace it, really, rather than thinking that it's going to come in and remove jobs for people. Actually, that's, again, it goes back to that colleague effort. You know, that data will allow them to give a better experience and, you know, ultimately be more effective in the job that they're trying to do. What about capabilities then within, you know, data-driven transformation? So, you know, you talked about your team specifically, you know, and the culture that you have there and how they want to share and want to help the whole organization be, you know, data literate, if you like. What are the skills that organizations need to have in their organization in order to be data-driven or to drive data kind of transformation?
Yeah, so I think I suppose what I was talking about before was sort of attitudes and behaviours, and that is really key for me. You know, so that sharing capability, and you know, a big part you know, very much a can-do and being part of a team and working together to achieve something bigger. But I think there are probably also certain skill sets that you definitely need if you're going on a data transformation journey. You need a strong engineering focus. You need, you know, your data science capability. You need some governance. And I think, you know, the other part of that, which they're all very sort of standard and you know, well known, but I think the other part that's really important for me is this community perspective. You know, because I think that that's where I think there's a huge amount of value, as well as in the advanced and AI and analytics, which we talked about, but also in making sure that everybody can use data. I personally believe that every single person within an organization can benefit from data. And so it's about getting it into people's hands and helping them get to the point where actually, yes, data is useful for me in my role in this way. Helping them to providing them the tools, the capability, the excitement and energy to do that, the support network around them, which isn't all from us, it's from everybody else who's excited and energized about data in the organization. And I think that you're never going to get everybody talking about data if it's all centered around a small central team. It's about encouraging everyone to be part of it and allowing everybody to share their knowledge and experience and expertise. And so that community aspect is hugely important for me if you want to be truly data driven.
That's a really refreshing kind of angle on it, Helen, if I'm honest. And I think our listeners, you know, hopefully sit there and reflect to say, actually, how culturally and internally, you know, because we know 90% of those firms said that culture was the barrier, but actually, is this the way forward, really? You know, in terms of how you create that hype, how you remove the barriers, how you embrace it. I think that this is a more positive and forward thinking way of looking at data, because, you know, I've been in organizations where, to your point, it's those guys over there, you know, back when we were in the office, or you need some stats, you need to go and speak to those guys over there. And it was almost the elephant in the room that, you know, and people were sat around, you know, kind of perceived as being the only ones that could unlock the data. And actually that was incredibly frustrating for so many teams as well. Not just those that were in the data team, because suddenly they can't get on with anything, because they've always got someone, you know, knocking their door for information, but also, you know, as a user, you know, you feel like you can't be self-sufficient. So it's got to be a way in which you can embrace that across organizations. So I feel that that's a big takeaway from our time this afternoon. You mentioned governance earlier. You know, another word that might make people feel a bit uncomfortable. But talk to me about the governance then, really. How do you set it up so that there's ownership, so that you achieve that quality and security within an organization?
I think this is really tough, and I don't think we've yet solved this one, if I'm honest. We're certainly not there on the journey yet, but I think that the first thing is that you definitely need support at a senior level in the organization. You need to have gained that belief that data is valuable and helpful. And I think once you've got that buy-in, for me, the next step really is around identifying pain points. So things that are, I suppose, data quality issues that actually are going to really make a fundamental difference. And I think that where you've got data that is really critical and important to what you're trying to achieve as an organization, that's where, if that data isn't as accurate as it could be, you can gain a huge benefit from improving the accuracy. I think this is, it's focusing initially on some of those use cases which can really drive a really big benefit, and almost then go through a process of almost finding owners for those really, really important assets, and then gradually the adoption starts to happen as more and more people start to understand. It comes back to the showcasing again, really. You know, finding some really core examples, showcasing, finding some people who are really great advocates and really, you know, within the business who really want to drive that forward and just helping them achieve that. I think that again, these issues are not solved just by the central data team. It's obviously owned by the business, but actually to allow the business to solve the actual pain point of the data quality, it could go back to another a system within technology. It could go back to a data collection issue within stores. And I think, you know, it's again an awful lot of culture and hearts and minds to get people engaged and embedded to recognize that actually this is something that needs to be improved, or the benefit of it being improved is going to actually have a big impact. And I think once you've got that, then you're on that journey.
Benefits, absolutely. Benefits, then what are, you know, again, we talked at the start about, is it a big hype? But actually, of course not. It is an opportunity, and data, you know, using data in the right way is going to create great opportunities for firms. And we've talked about some examples this afternoon, but what other benefits are there? How, if you were asked to say, right, you know, put a business case together as to why we should go through this data-driven kind of transformation, what are the key benefits you'd call out?
I think this sort of splits into two buckets, which we have talked about, which is the sort of customer experiences. So your increase in your acquisition, your reduction in churn, your, you know, it's all outcomes driven, depending on the outcomes of your business. You know, it could be saving people's sight and hearing, you know, from our perspective, from other people's companies, it will be others. But it all centers around that, you know, really customer experience, things that are in there. And the second is, for me, colleague experiences. So, you know, the automating of the manual tasks, the giving them better job satisfactions, the giving them development opportunities, you know, making it more fun. I mean, who wants to do manual data manipulation? Everybody wants to get into understanding the benefit that data is going to provide, really driving the insight from it. And making a difference to ultimately the first thing, which is the customer experience and the outcomes that you're wanting to drive. So for me, it sort of fits into those two buckets broadly, but in each company, they're going to be subtly different.
But good categorization, because everyone can relate to that, no matter what sector you're in and, you know, what service you're providing to customers as well. So who out there then is someone that you, you know, has inspired you in terms of how they're using data? So what kind of firms, what brands, who do you look at either for inspiration or view and think, you know, those guys definitely are using data to drive the right decisions for their organization?
I think I always really like, I mean, there's loads of very cool stories, especially like, you know, around AI, and everyone could get very excited about those, to be honest. But I think the things for me that resonate are things where you've got a really, you know, a really positive impact. So things that are impacting health outcomes or wider societal benefits, they're always the stories that I think you know, are really powerful. And I think there's some really interesting you know, stories around health and the benefits that AI is producing in those environments. I think that's for me is where the interesting cases are, but I think that's different for everybody. And I think there's an awful lot of really fascinating use cases out there, whether it's you know, helping people get better jobs or, you know, complete their dreams in terms of becoming footballers, right the way through to, you know, cycling benefits and all the rest. So I think they're all fascinating.
Absolutely. I'm going back to something you said at the start, which was around, you know, data-driven transformation requires patience. If you were to give the listeners some advice today, you know, how, if they're on the start of their journey, if they're right in the thick of it and it's just, you know, pulling their hair out, what advice would you give them to make sure they finish what they've started, really, so they can realize the benefits that clearly Specsavers have?
I think for me, what I mean by that is that because you're on a massive cultural journey, and I think this is something, to be honest, that I've probably struggled with, because I really want to just get things done. And I want to move at pace. And, you know, and this is something that actually, you know, I've probably learned, if I'm honest, over the last couple of years, that, you know, because it is so hearts and minds, and so much of a cultural shift, sometimes you've got to give people a bit of time to get there. And I think if people are there and they're with you, then you can go really fast, really fast. Because you've got everybody behind you, you've got exponential increase in speed because you've got all these other people helping you on your journey. But if you're just there by yourself, and you haven't got that hearts and minds, you haven't got them with you, you just go really slow. And so I think that having the patience to get people, you know, aligned and really bought in and really eager is actually hugely beneficial.
You've made me feel really excited about data this afternoon, that's for sure. So you've won my hearts and minds, that's for sure. So let's look into the future. You know, you mentioned earlier about AI and robotics and that, you know, absolutely being something that there'll be more of it. We'll need to embrace it. It'll just be a way of life, really. Any other predictions or thoughts around, you know, where firms will start to invest around data technologies or analytics? You know, where do you see the direction of travel going?
Well, it's quite a difficult one, isn't it? I definitely envisage a world where, in fact, I was reading a book recently. I can't even remember which book it was in, but it was talking about the progression, I suppose, of us as humans, and the fact that, you know, historically it was all about muscle, and now we're in this sort of section where it's all about brains, but in the future for humans it's all about emotion. And I definitely agree with that. I kind of think that actually we're heading in that direction where that's the you know, the really the core thing that as humans we provide, because the brain stuff can actually be done by computers, and the manual stuff can be done by machines. And so I think that the big thing that we can add within that is the things like the hearts and minds, the cultural shift, the really understanding each other and empathizing with each other. And so I think that's ultimately where we'll be as an organization. You know, and I think, I think that I envisage a future where, you know, Power BI or data skills are as common as Excel and Word, you know, where you've got everybody in your organization creating some form of analytics or AI. And I envisage, a huge amount of robotics and automated processing and very personalized experiences because of that.
Let's fast forward to that time. Wouldn't that just make life so much easier if, you know, as individuals within teams that are not within the business to kind of, you know, consume and use data in that way, it would just make you so much more effective as a leader, as a contributor to kind of, you know, a business and its growth and its, you know, it's kind of future, really. So we started off with a topic being big data, big hype, big opportunity. It's been great to unpack your kind of experience, Helen, this afternoon. So thanks for, you know, sharing all the stories. I guess, you know, one final question for me really is it a hype? Or actually, you know, is it the biggest opportunity that organizations are just not getting their heads around? You know, when those barriers we talked about in those that were surveyed, you know, in the Harvard Business Review, that's the issue. is it that, you know, organizations are just not embracing it, or being patient, as we've talked about?
I don't think it's just hype. I think the thing is, though, that data is really hard. It's really hard to really clearly articulate the benefit that data brings. And I think that where you've got, you know, some really clear use cases, and where you're delivering sort of some quite advanced analytics for automated decisioning, sometimes those you can sort of separate out, and it can be a bit easier to articulate where the value benefit is. What's really hidden is the benefit of everybody in the organization making decisions from that data themselves in their own jobs. That's really, really hard to put a value on. I mean, how do I put a value on 66% of glaucoma reducing and the benefit that that's creating to people's loss of sight? I mean, it's really difficult, but it's making a massive impact. And I think that I don't think it's hype at all, but I think our putting a number on what that benefit is when everybody's using it is an unseen quantity. But I think it's there. And I think that when people see it, and they can really, you know, you can tell the story, if you like, then people really get on board. And that's, you know, stories, data stories are a massive thing, you know, for us. And that's what we are encouraging everyone to do. Tell us your data stories. Tell us how data has helped you in your role. And I think that's where companies' mindset will be shifted.
It's a great statement to end on, actually. And it's certainly made me reflect, you know, about how I take some of this learning back to the team. So, Helen, thank you so much for this afternoon. I've really, really enjoyed our conversation. And I'm sure our listeners are going to take lots of nuggets away. So thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Change Society podcast. And if you want to know more about how SNS can help you and your organisation, there are three main ways. Number one, subscribe to this podcast, and also check out some of our cutting-edge knowledge and ideas on the Insights page of our website. Number two, if you're a senior leader or change agent, join one of our change communities to network and share with like-minded individuals, both online and off. And finally, if you need to solve a problem across business change, agility, delivery or transformation, and don't want to go down the traditional consulting route, shoot us an email to hello@sullivanstanley.com.